7 o'clock. There it is. Y'all can hear me now. So it's 7 o'clock. It's time for us to get started. We're going to finish chapter 2 tonight. I guarantee. We've been on it for a little bit. Good topic. Good discussions in here. And then we're going to get started with chapter 3 after we do the questions tonight. But first, of course, let's be bound and have a word of prayer together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time. Thank you for another wonderful day of life on this earth. We thank you for this time to be able to gather together in the midweek and be able to open up your word and to study from it, to be made better by it, to learn from these proverbs and wise sayings that you've allowed your servant to record and that you've given to us so that we can grow wise in your word. We pray that we may open our hearts and our minds to the study, that we may better understand the things that you have presented to us, that you guide us in this study, that you help us to understand it in the way that you would have us to. We're thankful for those that are here tonight, those that are able to make it safely, and we pray for those that are not able to be here. We pray for those that have been sick, those that have been dealing with ongoing issues, that you comfort and heal these. Be with those that are on the roads of travel. Be with those that are working on the road. You keep them safe. Bring them home safely when the time is right. Pray your forgiveness over our sins as we come before you now. Lord, we strive to do right in your sight and to be well-pleasing in your sight. And we pray that you forgive us when we fall short. We pray that you strengthen us that we may better serve you in each day of our lives. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll just get right into our questions here. Question number one of our text questions. What kind of wisdom did Solomon want to pass to his son? And I noticed a little typo in there, but that's okay. So what kind of wisdom did Solomon want to pass on to his son? Godly wisdom. Hardest question of the night, right? Where does godly wisdom come from? Question two. God. And his word, right? And his word, of course. It does not come from man. That is the trick part of it, is we'd like to think that we can find wisdom from earthly wisdom, but guess what? It's all from God. In his word. Question number three, what two things can we do to obtain godly wisdom? Study. Pray. Verse 3 says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, cry out. Being prayer. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, seek it out. Search the scripture daily. Question 4, what will we receive by seeking godly wisdom? Good, good. Understand the fear of the Lord. Wisdom, you get wisdom from the ultimate source of wisdom. God himself, the source of all knowledge and wisdom and guidance throughout the days of your lives. Question 5, what is meant by wisdom entering our hearts? What do you think about that?
It implies action, emotion, it requires effort. We have to incline our ear, be willing to accept it.
Okay, very good. We have to open our heart to it. We have to be emotionally attached to it in the sense that it means something to me. It means something to us personally. And we also got to remember that the heart defines the man. You look in passages of scripture, what comes out of the man, you know, comes from the heart, and that defiles him. So if it's good that comes to the heart, comes out of the heart, you know, that's one thing. But if we're putting good in our heart, whatever's there, if it's bad, it's going to get pushed out. If it's good, it's going to grow. Very good. Question 6, what is meant by knowledge being pleasant to the soul? Bringing peace, okay? What kind of peace? Godly peace, okay? Ellie, did you have something? One more time, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay.
Also, one of the most scary things to me is the unknown. You don't know what your next step should be. You don't know where you're. But knowledge, having that wisdom to make those discernments, is to me more pleasant than being afraid of what should I do next or what's going to happen next. So I thought of it differently later.
That's a good point. Absolutely. It can put our soul at ease trying to pursue what we know from the Word is the right path. On that note, go ahead. Pardon? That's your godly peace. Yeah, you got that right. I also wrote down the thought that our soul is what's going to be going back to God. And so the knowledge of how we can present ourselves as well-pleasing to Him, i.e. the knowledge we get from this, that's vital. And that should be vital to us. And more than that, that peace bringing, that pleasantness. Question 7, what two things will happen if we pursue godly wisdom with heart and soul? We will be kept and we will be preserved, according to my version. Very good. Question 8, list the types of people we will be delivered from by living a life of godly wisdom. Verses mention 4 types of people that we are told we will be able to be delivered from if we pursue godly wisdom. So who are they? Man who speaks perverse things. Okay, evil, crooked people, specifically those who rejoice in doing it. The way of evil is what's stated first, and then later on it says verse 14, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. That's where at least my mind is. The one who leaves the path of righteousness. Someone who turns away from the good path. One last one. Who is it? An adulterous woman. These 4 are specifically listed here that we will be delivered from according to a life of godly wisdom. Question 9, what benefit does having godly wisdom provide when met with sinful scenarios? It's more of a think about it type of question. Nah, sinful scenarios. If they were simple, we wouldn't need all these proverbs, but tools to resist. I like that. Gives you the tools to resist. What else? Anyone else? Any takers? Okay, identify. Yeah.
A lot of times that they are doing the sinful things. They don't even act, and then they're in the wreck of their life, and they're like, I wish I had known.
That's true. You're absolutely right about that. 3 I wrote down were, we will know how to answer them, and so when we meet someone like this who doesn't know, we can explain it to them. Or if they do know and they continue to pursue it, we will also know when to depart from them. When to set this boundary that this is going too far. And thirdly, we know that everything has consequences. We know not to go down their pathway, not to get involved with the same sins, because we know that there's consequences. Question 10, what do we learn about the power of words, especially flattery, from the immoral woman? Excuse me. Sorry? Manipulate people. Very good. Because words can deceive and words can seduce. You know, I think we talked last time that telling someone everything they've ever wanted to hear, that is going to put some power in your hands over their lives. And the seducer, they do this, they use them up, and they leave them. Once their usefulness is at an end, they abandon them, straight up. So question 11, what do you learn about her relationship with her husband? Companion of her youth. What does that tell you? Together for a long time. There was time and effort being put into this marriage relationship, and then she doesn't care about that. All those years, they didn't matter to her. She turned away from that to go and pursue this pleasure of sin, if you will. So question 12, what warning is given about pursuing immorality? Lead to death. That's what I was looking for. Yes, we'll be cut off from the land, but we'll get to that in a minute. But lead to death. Verse.
But more importantly, when we leave our marriage, forgetting the covenant that we make with God.
Yeah. You make a good point there. I totally overlooked that. I mean, I didn't overlook it previous times, but I overlooked it when doing question work. But bring up a good point there. This covenant is before God. This is not just some, as the world likes to say, piece of paper. This is holy matrimony we're talking about here. But looking at the question at hand, verses 18 and 19, it says, for her house leads down to death, her paths to the dead, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Give you the short version, your life will be severely messed up if you pursue immorality. Your whole life, it'll totally ruin it. Question 13, what path will we walk if we choose to act on godly wisdom? Paths of the righteous. And what fate is shown for the righteous and the unrighteous? Somebody said it earlier. The upright will dwell in the land, the wicked will be cut off. We talked about that last week, and we compared that to Israelite history. Because how did they get the land that was theirs? They took it from the Canaanites because they were sinful people. How did they end up going into captivity? Both sides went and turned to idols and false gods, rather than staying true to the one true God. And so God said, you're going to be captured now. You're going to be taken into captivity. Application and discussion questions. Number one, Solomon makes it clear that we receive godly wisdom by seeking it out with prayer and study. How important is it to make daily habits of these? And if these are not daily habits, what steps can we take to make them daily habits? What are your thoughts on that? There you go. Set time aside. Okay. That's true. It's kind of like the more you're around somebody, the more you start becoming like them. What if you're around God all the time? What if you spend a day just with Him? Cut yourself off from the world. Cut yourself off from everything on your to-do list just for a day. Prayer, Bible study, songs of praise. What an interesting day that would be. Anyone else? Any other thoughts? So a few thoughts I had. First of all, to Carla's point, yes, this should be of very much important to us. And making these daily habits should be vital to us all as Christians. It is how we spend time with God in the week. You know, we cannot rely on just Sunday and Wednesday to have that be all the time in the world that we need with Him. No, we got to do it every day if we can. We must make sure, as Sue said, set time aside. And I'll add to that, undistracted time for study, for meditation, for prayer. You know, for study, have a plan of what to read and read it. Not for the sake of checking off a box, but to understand. Meditate on it. Reflect on it. Apply it. Do not rush yourself, nor overload yourself, and study in a way that is effective, not tedious. And for prayer, have a list of all things. Whether that be situations you're in or a friend of yours is in, people you want to pray about. We got plenty of sick. We got plenty that are chronically sick. We got plenty traveling for work. We got college students about to go off. All these things. You know, we do not want to trade that time for anything else. We can be tempted to. Maybe you like your study time in the morning, and then you wake up one morning and you're like, I ain't feeling it. I'm going to sip a coffee and watch Doctor Who or something. No, take your time. That time you set aside and do it. Question 2. Solomon says that the Lord is a shield for His people and that He guards and preserves His people. This may cause us to think, as we've alluded to previously, that we're invincible or that we can do no wrong. What are some fallacies with this line of thinking? And consider a couple of verses. If you would please, one of you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 and read that for us. And somebody else, after they read that, 2 Peter 3 verses 17 and 18 for us. First Corinthians 10, verse 12. Whoever has that, go ahead and read that. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If you think that you're as strong as can be, that you're invincible, resilient in all things, be careful. The devil's going to test that. Only boast in the Lord. Absolutely. Well, not all of us are you, pal. That's how it goes. Because what tempts me may not tempt you, or may not tempt her. Same thing. 2 Peter 3, 18 and 19. Whoever has that, read that for us, please. 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. My version reads a little different. It says, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. You know, we're told to stand fast in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Be immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. But Peter warns, you can fall from your steadfastness. your stance you take, your secured position, is that what you said? Secured position? That, you can fall from that. It is something that can happen. So, oh yeah. Like we said earlier, you start becoming like the people you hang around. And if you're hanging around people that aren't always the best, and that you're trying to have an influence on them, but you're not getting through to them, they're having more of an influence on you. That's not a bad, I mean, that's a not a good situation to be. It is bad. It is not a good situation to be in. So, with this fallacy, this line of thinking that we can do no wrong, what do you think about that? Has there ever been a time, like Carla said, where you thought that you would be unaffected by this or that or the other, and then come to find out you really are affected by that? You really are taken away by this sin or this thing. And it's like, you at first you didn't understand why you yourself would ever be tempted by the thing, and then all of a sudden, you can't stop thinking about the thing. You can't stop doing the thing. For sure. Thank you. All sin is the same in the eyes of God. I cannot judge you for drinking just because I haven't drank. And I can take any sin and apply that because, again, what tempts me may not tempt you, Carla. What tempts Carla may not tempt Martha, and so on and so forth for each and every one of us. We are all susceptible to our own desires. James tells us that. Your own desires are what entice you to sin. So, just because I wouldn't do the thing doesn't mean I wouldn't do something else. And that makes us equal. So, I think we talked last week about the Calvinist idea of perseverance of the saints. I'd like to review that again tonight. This is the idea that God will not allow for one of his elect to fall away. According to their doctrine, if you have been chosen by God to be one of his elect, he will not let you fall away. And just as it is impossible to resist the grace of God, according to their doctrine, it is impossible to fall away once you know that you are his. On top of that, we may think that we can do something like walk in front of traffic and not get run over or something crazy like that if we take these verses at face value. But as other scriptures point out, we have to be careful with that line of thinking because we may yet fall, and that is the reality. We can lose our salvation. And if we do that, we must go back to God. There is a process for that. Confession and repentance. You're absolutely right about that. I kind of wonder if the devil is just like testing our cockiness, you know what I mean? We get this hubris, this pride, and the devil's like, we'll see about that. Right? Question 3. Solomon enforces the importance of making godly wisdom personally important to us. What can happen if we try to go at it alone, without God's wisdom or presence? And consider Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. If one would like to read that for us. Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Any takers? Joshua 7, 1 through 5. Yes. Carry on. You're good. Thank you for reading that. So, what happened here?
Achan thought he could do it and hide it from everybody.
Yep.
The consequences affected everybody.
Consequences affected everybody. Absolutely. And you know, I think about these words here. Spoken, they said, go up, spy out the country. Do not let all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000. Go up and attack Ai. So, they thought that they had it in the bag. They thought, easy pickings. Send a few hundred. They'll send a few thousand. Take that. That'll take care of the job. And they just defeated Jericho. This is right after the events of Jericho. But they were told not to take the accursed things, which Achan did. And as such, the presence of the Lord left them until the issue was corrected. As such, when they went to fight Ai, not having God on their side, full of this pride and coming off of this high of just defeating Jericho, what happened? They were defeated. They assumed on a whim that they'd win. They didn't even consult the Lord. And this can be us, brethren. We can make poor decisions. We can go down the wrong paths. We are fallible as humans, but must rely on the one who is not fallible, who is infallible. Thoughts, comments, ideas. Situations similar to this that you've seen happen. Nada? That's okay. We'll move on. Stay in the word to stay strong. Absolutely. It's like another proverb that we'll see down the line. Pride goes before destruction. That pride, that'll get us. Alrighty. Question 4. After seeing the types of people we're told we'll be delivered from by trusting in godly wisdom, what are some important things to remember when dealing with them or being tempted by them? Kind of touched on this a little bit with the previous question, but I'll leave the floor is open. Any thoughts? Well, I have a few thoughts for you. First of all, they are souls who need saving. They must know the truth about the error of their ways. And us who know the truth, we have every right, and not the right, but the obligation, if you will, to be the ones to tell them that. Another thing, all things that tempt us, that tempt them, they are temporary pleasures that in the end provide nothing of substance and goes against our purpose. So we must remember that in order to not be involved. Finally, all things have consequences, whether they be immediate, go out a night of drinking, you wake up with that hangover. It'll go away, but it's not pleasant, right? Some things don't go away. Some issues you got to live with for the rest of your life. That's consequence, brethren. And furthermore, that's earthly consequence. We haven't even talked about eternal consequence yet, because that suffering that is evolved in the eternal consequences is forever. And it is for sin. It is for getting taken away by those temptations and enticed and falling into it. We can't go down that path, brethren. Yeah. And that's just one sin we're talking about. Wait till we talk about all of them. Anyone else? Any other things to add? All right, question 5. Solomon describes the fate of the righteous and the fate of the unrighteous in the land. How do these parallel the fates and promises made about eternity as seen in the New Testament? First of all, the verses themselves read, "For the upright will dwell in the land, the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." There's a parallel there between that back then and us and eternity. Thoughts? You see it? I agree. Every single verse that mentions hell right now. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, the parallels here are how the upright and the blameless, you know, the ones that are forgiven of their sins, live their lives well-pleasing to God, will dwell in heaven. Heaven will be their home for eternity, never to be cast out, never to grow old. And the wicked, unfaithful, those who choose to go against God, instead of pleasing Him, that choose to live for self instead of God, these will not dwell in heaven, but cast into eternal hellfire, separated from God. You know, I think I've said it before, but it's how I choose to look at it. If God allowed sinners into heaven, heaven would be no different than earth down here. And we'd have situations like, you know, if we believe what we believe about God having to cast Satan and the angels that followed him out of heaven, we don't want that. We don't want that to be us. The New Testament promises that we will be transformed in the moment in a twinkle of an eye, and our corruptible will be turned into incorruptible. Any other thoughts, comments, observations, or questions about chapter 2? Oh, yeah.
And we have to also be careful to remember that the key to Proverbs is in chapter 1, when verse 6, when it says to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. They are proverbs, they are general truth. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say, well, I don't drink and I don't speed, but then I was hit by a drunk driver, and now I was doing what God told me to do. This can't be right. But to remember these. work to understand them. They're not ironclad, if you do this, this will happen. It is a path we walk that we try to do to have the best, but I can't control someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what might happen to me because of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think a guy like Stephen would be a perfect example about that. Of course, Jesus. But he was literally perfect. Stephen was still a man, and he chose to go against mankind. He chose to go against sinfulness, and he chose to stand against lies that were being told and get to the truth of the matter. And how did they react? Let him out of the city and stoned him to death.
Sometimes it's evil. Chapter 1 said there are evil people that are out to shed blood and steal.
Yes.
The shedding of that person's blood was innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we read through Proverbs, I feel this. Raised my children all the same and tried to teach them the same. They turned out differently. One that is not obeying God and two that are. Bring up the child the way he should go, and won't stray from it. It's a proverb, it's a general truth.
Yes.
So the same thing on each chapter we read, the general truth we should follow, but that doesn't mean something else.
Oh yeah, for sure. To Celeste's point, general truth, which means every now and then there's going to be an exception, or every now and then there's going to be a situation where we're like, don't think that was supposed to happen, but it did happen. And, one of the greatest things we're going to read about, and especially in the next chapter here, is talking about trusting in God. Giving our heart to Him and trusting in Him, because sometimes the unexpected happens. I was having a good talk with Brandon the other day about, sometimes the unexpected happens. We were talking about Job. We're talking about Joseph. Their entire things that we read about were completely unexpected. Some things that, think about Joseph. He got his coat of many colors. Who would have thought that his brothers would turn on him? And then who would have thought a good thing happened in that he was set up second in command at Potiphar's house? And then who would have thought bad thing happened? Goes to jail for a little bit of time. And then who would have thought? Good thing happened. He becomes second command of all Egypt. Life is like that. It's full of twists and turns. And these proverbs, to Celeste's point, they will help us. But we got to choose to abide by them. These are generally true. Sometimes things don't go the way they should. A lot of the times, things don't go my way. And that's okay. Because, as we're about to talk in chapter 3, my trust needs to be here. We're about to read the verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Again, that's generally true. I have to acknowledge. I have to trust. There's work. There's effort on my part.
I know Joseph even has the Proverbs to read, but don't you think it would have been interesting when the adulteress was trying to get him? He could have said, hey, I can move on up, and if you put God first, and
excellent point. We got to do the right thing, no matter what. Do the thing that's pleasing to God, no matter what. Yes, that can get us in trouble down here. That's okay. Remember, I'm going off the top of my head here, but I believe it's Peter who said, something to the effect of, if you're suffering as a criminal for the sake of the Lord, you're blessed. I'm going to correct myself on that next week. I need a book, chapter, and verse for myself. But we're out of time. We're actually almost a minute over time. So thank you all for your comments. Great discussion this evening. And we'll begin in chapter 3 next week. I'll have questions for y'all Sunday. And thank you all again for your comments.